Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Would this chant be an oxymoron? Independence of the world, unite. Not to Mayor Bloomberg.
The economic policies that we have pursued to drive this growth have been neither left nor right, liberal nor conservative. Despite what ideologues on the left believe, government can't tax and spend its way back to prosperity, especially when that spending is driven by pork barrel politics. Federal spending to stimulate the economy has a temporary positive impact, it's true. But we are 2 years past the economic meltdown of 2008, and unemployment is still too high. The underlying economy is still too weak, and the federal deficit is still rising too fast. At the same time, despite what ideologues on the right believe, government should not stand aside and wait for the business cycle to run its natural course. That would be intolerable given the enormous unemployment we face and the worsening job prospects for the 15 million people who are trying to find work.
Mayor Bloomberg, from his speech on the national economy and national politics here in New York, saying that he thinks the New York City economy is doing better than the nation's, largely because of his non-ideological policies. But he continued to put himself forward as the pragmatist independent fighting our polarized politics. We'll play another clip from that speech in just a minute. And we open the phones now for anyone who considers yourself a political moderate or political independent or political centrist. I realize those are all somewhat different things, but moderates, centrists, independents, this is a call-in for you. How do you feel about the tax cut compromise in Washington, first of all? How do you feel about what Obama and the Republicans came to at the beginning of this week? And how do you feel about our politics in general? Moderates, centrists, independents? 212-433-WNYC. There aren't a lot of calls for you guys and girls in the media. 212-433-9692. Or post to an open thread that we've started on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org, 212-433-9692. Now, Mayor Bloomberg is one of the organizers of a conference coming here to New York next Monday. It'll be on the campus of Columbia University to launch a group called No Labels, which bills itself as a citizens' movement of Republicans, Democrats, and independents whose mission is to address the politics of problem solving, unquote. 25,000 people have already liked this on Facebook. You know that thumbs up button that says like? 25,000 people. And in a few minutes, we'll talk to a guest coming from Nebraska for the No Labels Conference who runs a blog called Rise of the Center. His name is Solomon, no less. And you can read his blog post for us on itsafreecountry.org. So perhaps a new kind of independent politics is being born in America right at this moment. Or perhaps this will be nothing but a blip in our march to polarization, time will tell. And of course, with the tax cut compromise announced this week, President Obama is tacking toward the center as he sees it. So we want to hear from anyone whose heart this stirs. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to the open thread that we've started for moderates and independents and centrists on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. On the Obama and Republicans tax cut compromise already this week, remember we've had a call in for progressives and a call in for Tea Party conservatives, and we found considerable opposition to the deal among both groups. Progressives don't like the tax cuts for the richest. Tea Party conservatives don't like the further extension of unemployment benefits. Neither group likes what the items they don't like will do to the deficit. But those call-ins were easy. Now we're trying something maybe a little bit more difficult for talk radio, and that is a call-in on the tax compromise only for those who would label yourselves political moderates, centrists, or independents. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to the open thread on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. The opinion media tend to be so polarized into left and right camps that I wonder if some of you independents and moderates ever feel that you have a place to talk. When you watch TV at night, and your choices between Keith Olbermann or Bill O'Reilly at 8 o'clock, then Rachel Maddow or Sean Hannity at 9 o'clock, do you ever wonder, who's the Sean Hannity of moderates, the Keith Olbermann of independents? Do you? Mayor Bloomberg tried to be that person in his speech on the economy yesterday. He's going to try to do it again at this No Labels conference on Monday, along with a bunch of other Democrats and Republicans and independents. We'll play another clip of the mayor coming right up here, but let's see if you're out there. Let's see if you exist. Let's see if you have anything to say other than let's be nice and split the difference. A call in for moderates and independents with your reactions to the tax cut compromise and the state of politics in America today, 212-433-WNYC, or post to our indies and moderates and centrists open thread on itsafreecountry.org. Now, more of Mayor Bloomberg trying to speak from the political center yesterday.
Last month, as we all know, voters turned against Democrats in Washington for the same reason I think they turned against the Republicans back in 2006. Democrats now and Republicans then spent more time and energy conducting partisan warfare than forging centralist solutions to our toughest economic problems. This abdication of responsibility has many causes, including party primaries that take place in gerrymandered districts where moderates are outnumbered and independents are often excluded. Bloggers and partisan pundits feed a 24-hour news cycle that values conflict over consensus, rewarding people at the extremes who scream the loudest. The result? Both parties follow the mood of the moment instead of leading from the front. They incite anger instead of addressing it for their own partisan interest. They tell the world about every real or imagined problem in America and not what is right with America. Especially in these tough times, we need our leaders to inspire the whole country, not criticize half of it.
Mayor Bloomberg from a speech to business leaders yesterday, and we'll debate this in coming days. But for now, we want to give voice to those of you who are moved by thoughts like this. Independents and moderates and centrists missing from the media. This is your turn right now. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And we'll talk to a self-identified centrist blogger coming up in a few minutes. You can post as well to our politics website where he has already posted. It's afreecountry.org. Sher Monica in Spring Valley. You're on WNYC. You're the first caller and you get our Name of the Day award already.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for making it. How are you?
Good. Thank you. And yourself?
Good. Thank you. So what are you thinking?
Well, I think that this is a good compromise. I really consider myself independent. I like to look at each issue independently. And, you know, I don't necessarily think that the top wealthiest people in the country deserve a tax cut. However, if you look in this package, there's something from everyone. From what I followed on NPR, there is a 2% payroll cut for everyone. And we know a lot of that money is going to go directly in the economy. I know I'm going to take that money and use it. And then also there's the extension of unemployment benefits. And I know that some Republicans say, oh, people need to get back to work. But the thing is, people want to get back to work. If they can't get back to work, they need that unemployment insurance. My own brother is out of work. He needs that unemployment so that he can pay his rent. And so I don't think it would be good for the president to stand on his ideological ideas and say, well, I'm going to stick it to the rich, and at the same time, he'd be sticking it to the poor as well, because then people unemployed would lose their houses and wouldn't be able to put food on the table, and I wouldn't be getting a 2% tax decrease. So even though the rich are getting something, everybody else is getting something as well. Now, this deal is only for 2 years, so maybe and, you know, after that, something else can be negotiated where those tax cuts for the rich are decreased. But for right now, we need something, too. And I think this package gives something for ordinary folks.
All right. An actual fan of both sides of the compromise deal. Can I ask, were you kind of more or less a supporter of President Obama to begin with? And now you kind of like this this tack that he's taking, or would you characterize yourself differently?
Yes, I would characterize myself generally as a supporter. I mean, I don't support everything, but I've never seen a political candidate where I have supported every position they've had. I don't think that's possible.
So, Monica, thanks for starting us off. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And we go next to John in Ridgefield. You're on WNYC. John, thanks for calling.
Yes, I consider myself a moderate, although fiscally relatively conservative. And I'm troubled by where we are in terms of the deficit and how we do not have a plan to get out of it. And I think it might have made more sense to increase the income level at which taxation began again. But I think that in 2 years we're going to find ourselves pretty much in the same place, and other compromises will be made, and the deficit will not be taken care of. And I think going forward that's very dangerous.
Do you find yourself liking you don't love this compromise because you think it ignores the deficit, and that would be the real moderate concern. Do I understand you right?
I think that's a good summation. I personally gain from this substantially. I discussed it with my accountant, and there are substantial gains in this if it goes forward the way it's proposed. But I think that none of us is going to get hurt enough by this to solve or begin to solve the deficit problem. And it's got to be solved. And it's either going to be solved by a draconian cuts in the services we provide to our nation and its people, or it's going to be solved by those who can pay more paying more. And that's a balancing act. It's difficult, but it's got to be done.
One of the questions that we have on our website for people joining that thread is, who is talking to you? So are there politicians out there who are talking to you?
Not as politicians. I have quite a few friends who are politicians by dint of the fact that they've been elected to office, as have I. And I would say that it's pretty much the way you'd think it was. The Republicans are very much in favor of maintaining tax cuts, and those who are not quite so Republican, probably less so, and maybe more in my camp, although I am a lifelong Republican and plan to stay that way.
John, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. And on that question, who is talking to you? On It's a Free Country, Don writes, at the national level, there are no Republicans who talk to me and almost no Democrats. However, if we were to end up with an Obama-Palin-Bloomberg race, it would take a great, great deal of courage to vote for Bloomberg over Obama, even though Bloomberg would represent me better, despite that they're equally effective in my mind, for fear of Palin winning with 35% of the vote, claiming a mandate and rolling back American progress. So there's kind of, I guess, a moderate liberal. We just heard from John in Ridgefield, who called himself a moderate conservative. Don, posting on our site, is a moderate liberal. Let's try Sarah in Rochester. Sarah, thanks for calling. You're on WNYC. Hello from New York.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What are you thinking about all this?
Well, I'm thinking that there's a major disconnect between what people think about economics and what people think about politics. And I think that a lot of people don't really have any faith in our free market economy anymore, and it's really disappointing, and it's finding its way into our political spectrum right now.
So people don't have any faith in a free market economy. That would classically be considered a conservative statement. Do you have something else on the other side that brings you out as a moderate?
Well, I mean, I'm a moderate in that I believe that we should have policies that, follow the third way, you know, like follow how government can help people but can also bolster the economy at the same time. We should find a way to find a middle ground. And I really think that this policy, while it may not be perfect for either side, would really be a good stepping stone to show how the two sides can work together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And does the concern about the deficit not override this for you as it does for some self-identified centrists?
I think that's definitely a concern, but I honestly think that the non-communication is far worse than any sort of long-term, any kind of short-term problems we could have with the deficit.
Sarah, thank you very much. So to the callers we've already taken, thank you for starting us off. We're going to continue in a minute with more of your calls and bringing in Solomon Kleinsmith, who is that blogger I mentioned from Nebraska, who's coming to New York for this Independence Political Conference on Monday called No Labels. He himself writes a blog called Rise of the Center. We'll see his take on the tax cut compromise, and I know the beginning of his take on the tax cut compromise. It's he thinks it isn't a compromise, that both extremes got what they want, and that's not a compromise. So we'll hear him lay that out. We'll talk more about what this No Labels movement is supposed to be and hear from more of you who call yourself moderates, independents, or centrists. Can there be a rise of the center in American politics? Is this the moment for it? We'll continue in a minute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We have a thoroughly unscientific poll on our politics website. It's freecountry.org today. Do you support Operation Payback for disabling Visa and MasterCard's websites in retaliation for them blocking donations to WikiLeaks? Do you support Operation Payback for disabling Visa and MasterCard's websites in retaliation for them blocking donations to WikiLeaks? We'll talk about this later in the show with a guest from the Electronic Frontier Foundation as the so-called cyber war between WikiLeaks opponents and WikiLeaks supporters continues. But we've got this poll up there today. More than 600 people answered our WikiLeaks poll yesterday. This wrinkle is, do you support Operation Payback for disabling Visa and MasterCard's websites in retaliation for them blocking donations to WikiLeaks? Answer yes or no at itsafreecountry.org. And we'll talk about it later in the show. Right now, we're talking to and about independents and moderates and centrists in our politically polarized country. Our lines are jammed at 212-433-WNYC. You can post to the open thread that we have for moderates and independents and centrists at itsafreecountry.org today. We'll talk to blogger Solomon Kleinsmith in just a minute. I want to play you a little bit more of the speech that Mayor Bloomberg gave yesterday, where whether he's running for president or not, and I tend to believe he's not, he is trying to elevate the conversation when it comes to non-polarized discussion of the issues in America. So here's a little bit of what he had to say, particularly about the tax cut compromise, and then in political context.
It's time to take a step backwards and ask ourselves, when did success become a bad word in America? When did cooperation and government become treason? You know, the new politics as usual is making a mockery of our democracy and a mess of our country. And we've got to stop it because we're paying a heavy price. In fact, right now, we are falling behind the world in education, technology, economic opportunity, even life expectancy.
Let's continue. Here's the part where he really gets to the particulars of the tax cut compromise.
The conventional wisdom that the two parties hold diametrically opposed views on how to promote economic activity is simply wrong, I think. It's very encouraging that you saw the other day the White House and Republican congressional leaders have reached a compromise agreement to extend tax cuts and unemployment benefits. And I think it's proof that bipartisanship really is possible in Washington. But this can't be the end of bipartisanship. It must be the beginning. Cutting taxes is easy enough. Cutting the deficit is another story. And the Deficit Reduction Commission offered a good start, but it's disappointing that Congress is choosing not to debate its recommendations. We can't afford to keep pushing these tough decisions off. We need more than a commission and more than lip service. We need results, and not next year or the year after, but now. Forging bipartisan agreements around economic issues, I know, is not easy. But I do believe that common ground exists not only on tax relief and not only on deficit reduction, but on many other areas that drive job creation. And lying at the heart of that common ground is an idea that has the potential to fire our economic engines by sparking the powerful economic force I mentioned at the outset, innovation.
Joining us now, Solomon Kleinsmith. He is coming to New York from his home in Nebraska for the kickoff on Monday of the new independent political movement called No Labels. He writes a blog called Rise of the Center, and he's done a blog post for us on itsafreecountry.org. You can read it on the homepage there. Solomon, thanks for the blog, and thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. Good morning.
You're from the middle of the country. You call your blog Rise of the Center, and your name is Solomon. It's all so perfect.
Yeah. I've been told that before, yeah.
With Rise
Just
of...
wait till I'm middle-aged.
I guess. How old are you?
I'm 31.
Do you think there are a lot of 31-year-old moderates in America who are waiting for something like this to come along?
Well, I know there are, actually. You hear a lot from the left that the younger ages are the most liberal, but actually they're the most independent. They're a lot more independent than they are identifying with the left.
With Rise of the Center, using that word, do you call yourself a centrist? Is that your political identification?
Yeah, I lean to the left on some issues, I lean to the right on other issues, but for the most part, I identify with the majority of the country where it polls. So that's pretty much what an independent or what a centrist is.
They say there's nothing sexy in being a centrist.
I don't know about that. When I'm talking to people just in regular life, most people are pretty annoyed with your average political, you know, hack person on the left and the right. And, you know, they're pretty happy when you can have a conversation with somebody without them hating you because you don't agree with them.
Give me your background a little bit. Somebody told me you're a disaffected former Democrat. Is that correct?
I've actually tried just about everything on for size over the years. I've always been a moderate since I tried being a libertarian in college several years ago. But I tried being a Republican a few times. I was a McCain fan in 2000. The Wesley Clark fan, Draft Clark, in 2004, volunteered a lot for a Republican Senate candidate that got clobbered here in 2006. And then in 2007, I formed Omaha for Obama, and I ran that for a year and a half and did some – I've done a whole bunch of grassroots stuff on both sides over the years.
So
I got fed up with both sides.
Do you think you could put into words a brief kind of unifying philosophy, political philosophy that you have? Or is it just that you, as an individual, have kind of a grab bag of views, some of which line up with the left, some of which line up with the right?
To a certain extent. But the interesting thing is, even though we don't have an ideology per se in the center, the vast majority of people who identify as moderates and centrists, they're moderate to conservative on fiscal issues, and they're moderate to liberal on social issues. So there is a lot of alignment in the center. It just doesn't come from a prepackaged ideology. It's just how people come to it naturally by looking at the issues.
You wrote about the tax cut deal that it is not a compromise, that both extremes got what they wanted. Want to lay that out for us?
Sure. I call it a horse trade more than anything else because both came to the table with the one thing that they wanted, and they got it. And they didn't compromise. Compromise would be, for instance, like I said in the blog, if the Democrats had actually paid for some of the unemployment benefits, perhaps through some unspent stimulus funds or some other thing, and the Republicans, they didn't budge at all on having all of the tax cuts continue. They could have compromised by bringing that down. I think it would have been good to have it be in the 500,000 to 750,000 or even a million, but they weren't willing to budge on that. And with the Social Security taking that down 2%, that's so very typical of both sides because they've been raiding the Social Security Trust Fund for forever, as long as I've been alive. And it's just so easy for them to take money out of there because they don't have to pay for it. Just put it on the national credit card, give money to people, you know, buy votes, and then not have to pay for it.
Is compromise always a good thing? People on both sides tend to see it as tainted right now for abandoning principles.
Well, of course they would. the vast majority of the country isn't as far, you know, to the right or to the left as the most Democrats and most Republicans. Most people in both parties are getting more and more to the right and left, and they're kicking out people in the center. People just want what they want. People in the center aren't any different than people on the left and the right. We want to see our views represented in government just as much as they do. And because they are farther left and farther right, we want compromise because we like some of the things Republicans have to say and some of the things Democrats have to say.
the White House would say that President Obama is the real centrist here. He didn't go for single payer, compromised away public option. He didn't go for Krugman-sized stimulus, but smaller. He didn't nationalize the banks, but threw money at them in the crisis. He didn't pull out of Afghanistan, but tried for a limited time surge. These are all arguably centrist positions against the left wing of his party and against the staunch, uncompromising party of no that the Republicans staked out over the last couple of years.
Well, there has to be a distinction here. I get this argument probably 2-3 times a week on Twitter, interestingly enough, that people on the right think that if you're not one of them, you're a liberal or you're a socialist, like they say Obama is, which is garbage. And people on the left say, basically, if you're not one of them, you must be a centrist or a conservative. I hear people on the left say Obama is a conservative, which doesn't make any sense. And Obama goes, how do I say this? He does do some third-way things. And I say third-way because that's a left-leaning think tank.
That's the Democratic moderate think tank, right?
Yeah, and it's really connected to No Labels. There's some people that worked with Third Way that are working with No Labels now.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, for the most part, if you look at his views that he stated and that he's actually done, and then compare that to public opinion polling, he is to the left of the country. It's not extreme left. You know, most people, when the GOP was trying to label him as the most liberal senator when he was running for office, it's just not true. But when you look at his views, he is liberal. It's just he's not crazy liberal. Mm-hmm.
Solomon Kleinsmith is my guest on WNYC. He's coming to New York from his home in Nebraska for the kickoff on Monday of a new independent political movement called No Labels. He writes a blog called Rise of the Center, and he's done a blog post for us on itsafreecountry.org. And we're taking calls from anyone else who considers yourself an independent, a moderate, or a centrist. And Robbie in Leonia, you're on WNYC. Hey, Robbie, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi, Brian. You know, this whole discussion about him having compromised, and just the other day, one of the late-night talk shows, Congressman Wiener and a couple of other congressmen were saying that he took the deal too early, and therefore this shows that he's not really fighting for the liberal wing. He's going to get a lot of work done before the new Senate and the new Congress takes office, where his chances of getting some of these things passed are going to be very limited. If he'd spend the next 3 months fighting for trying to get the deal at the last minute, then right now just doesn't make sense.
Talk about you. Are you how would you describe yourself politically?
Well, I think I'm probably left of middle, but not an extreme. I think when Obama and McCain were fighting for the 2008 election, I think I was split between the two, given what McCain had done to be in the center. But once he nominated Palin, I think I switched to Obama. But ever since Obama has been in the office, I think he's always staked out a position which is in the center, maybe left of center, but not extreme. And the liberal wing is, I think in my mind, is just not facing reality.
And you like this? You like this new compromise, do you?
Well, I like it in the sense, I mean, sure, I would benefit from some of these tax cuts there, but I don't think it was the top of the thing which I was looking for. I know a couple of people who've been out of jobs for a couple of years, and they have no prospects at all. And to have fought till the last minute and then still not be able to get the unemployment insurance extended, I think was irresponsible if that's what he was going to try and do, and mm-hmm. that's what the liberal wing was trying to force him to do.
So you're for the compromise?
I'm for the compromise because it gets things done, and there's a START treaty which has to be ratified. There's a DREAM Act. Maybe the Don't Ask, Don't Tell has to be repealed. All of this has to be done before the new Congress takes office.
What do you think of Mayor Bloomberg?
Well, he's a centrist. I like him, although I think now he's with his third term, I think he's lost some of his sheen in my mind. I think he's not seen himself as the emperor who can get anything done when he wants to, so I'm a bit disappointed with all of that. But his comments were what you played on radio made sense to me, and I think I like his philosophy there. But as a mayor, he's lost some just respect in my mind, if nothing else.
Because of the term limits. Ravi, thank you very much. We appreciate your call. Call us again. Eileen from Long Island posts on It's a Free Country. Mayor Bloomberg voiced what I've been feeling for quite some time. There has been very little governing going on for some time now. It has been nothing more than team sport. I felt relief that the president compromised on the tax issue. I hope there will be more compromises and less standoffs as the task of recovery moves forward. We're almost out of time, Solomon. You know, independents and moderates are two different things. For one thing, independents voted largely for Republicans in the elections this year, and moderates voted mostly for Democrats. Does that tell us something important?
Well, yeah. A lot of people from both parties have been leaving and becoming independents, but that's been happening more so on the right. And you also have to look at the fact that when you talk about independents, often you're talking about libertarians and Green Party members, people that are even more extreme than the party. So those libertarians especially are pretty fired up because they're pretty active in the Tea Party. And so between more Republicans becoming independents and libertarians identifying as independents in polls where they're only asking, are you independent or major party, put that together, and that explains why independents went for Republican.
So who were all those independents who voted majority for Obama in 2008? Because you wouldn't think he would get a libertarian vote.
No. Well, actually, interestingly enough, I did. There are some libertarians that are more focused on the social issues. They call them libertarians usually.
Mm-hmm, right. I was saying the libertarians, get the government off my back and get it off my front.
Sure. Yeah, I haven't heard that before. I was one of those people, and I'm a pretty centrist person, and I've fallen away from Obama. He campaigned as more of a, you know, postpartisan centrist-ish Democrat, and then when he came into office, he didn't fight for a lot of the things he said. He let go, let Nancy Pelosi and the Congress go with what they wanted. For instance, the individual mandate, which is wildly unpopular with pretty much everybody to the right of the left, and he campaigned against that. And that was one of the major things that I supported him for. That was a big difference between him and Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And when he came into office, he just ignored that he said that.
All right. Well, this conversation is not over, but it's stopping for now. Solomon Klein-Smith coming to New York from his home in Nebraska for the kickoff of the new independent political movement called No Labels on Monday. And, folks, we will cover that a lot on Monday and Tuesday next week and see if there is, in fact, a rise of the center, as is the name of Solomon Klein-Smith's blog. And again, he's also posted for us on itsafreecountry.org with an original blog post. You can read it on the homepage there. Thank you very much for coming on, and good luck on Monday. And we're definitely going to follow up with you, okay?
All right. Talk to you later.
Thank you so much. And again, liberals, conservatives, join the conversation. Centrists, moderates, independents, we've got a safe space for you on our itsafreecountry.org blog. In this media dominated by polarized left and right, we've got an open thread for liberals, for independents, moderates, and centrists today on itsafreecountry.org. Go check it out, and we'll pick up this thread again on Monday and Tuesday. Brian Lehrer and WNYC. Coming up next, the editors of the brand new Encyclopedia of New York City talk about Ed Koch and other New York bridges. Stay tuned.